I read to you from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 29. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Now, we said last time that Hebrews chapter 11 begins the final section of the epistle of Hebrews, the last three chapters, chapter 11, chapter 12, and chapter 13. And chapter 11 is the beginning of this final section. And we saw how Hebrews chapter 1 to chapter 6 spoke about the superior personhood of Christ. And then in Hebrews chapter 7 to chapter 10, we saw the superior priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now in Hebrews chapter 11 to chapter 13, this gives us a superior principle, the principle of faith. And this principle of faith should encourage each one of us to put our trust in him. Because in Hebrews 11 verse 6 it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now the readers of the Epistle of Hebrews were being tempted to go back into Judaism. They were tempted to put their confidence in the visible things of this world. The temple was seen, they could see the temple, and yet they had chosen to follow Christ. Now they were tempted to go back to Judaism. And they were losing trust in the invisible realities of God. Instead of going on to perfection, instead of going on to maturity, they were tempted to go back to perdition, waste. Remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. It says, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Then in Hebrews 10 verse 39 it says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. And the meaning of that word actually there means waste. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So they were tempted to go back to Judaism and then get back into a meaningless life. Instead of walking on to maturity, instead of moving on to maturity, they were tempted to go back. In Hebrews chapter 11, all Christians are called to live by faith. And the writer is encouraging us to do so. Not by what we see. The circumstances around us may be very difficult. And temptations also would be very strong. But we are called to live by faith. Now we said last time that the writer discusses two important topics relating to faith in this chapter. Number one, the description of faith in verses 1 to 3. And number two, the demonstration of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verses 4 to 40. And we looked at the description of faith in our last study. And we also moved into seeing the demonstration of faith. In Abel, we saw faith worshipping. Then in Enoch, we saw faith walking. And in Noah, we saw faith working. And now we look at the patriarchs. In the patriarchs, we see faith waiting. Faith waiting. The most difficult thing to do actually is to wait. To trust the Lord and keep waiting. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 8 to 22. The emphasis here in this portion of scripture is on the promise of God and His plans for the nation of Israel. Notice the number of times the word promise is mentioned. You'll find in Hebrews 11 verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Again, verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Then again, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Hebrews 11 verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Now the nation of Israel came into existence beginning with God's call of Abraham. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. But Abraham and Sarah had to wait for 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise. Isaac, their son, became the father of Jacob and Esau. And it was through Jacob that God built the nation of Israel. Through the birth of Jacob's 12 sons, a nation was born. Then God used Joseph to save the nation during the famine in the land. Joseph being raised up to the highest position next to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And later on, God used Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt. Now, as I said earlier, waiting is one of the most difficult disciplines of life. But true faith is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's purposes, God's promises, in God's perfect time. But while we are waiting, what are we supposed to do? While we are waiting, we must keep obeying the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You see, it's interesting to note here, Abraham obeyed when he did not know where he was going. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 8 it says, Hebrews 11 verses 9 to 10, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, why did Abraham live in tents? He lived in tents because he was a stranger, he was a pilgrim in the world, and he had to be ready to move. Whenever God spoke, he had to be ready to move. So he lived in tents. And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, we are also strangers and pilgrims. We may not be living in tents, we are living in houses. But Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, Peter writes, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Abraham had his eyes on the heavenly city and he lived in the future tense. And by faith, Abraham obeyed God. He did not know where he was going. He lived in tents and moved when God told him to move. He also obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. He did not know, but he still obeyed. Hebrews 11 verses 11 to 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Both Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children. Yet they both believed that God would do the miracle. In the book of Romans chapter 4 verses 13 to 25, we have this detailed. Romans chapter 4 verses 13 to 25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So you see how important faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is. We too are saved by grace through faith in the person of Christ and his work for us, his death and resurrection. Now, unbelief asks this question, how can this be? Remember Zechariah the priest in the temple in the New Testament, the father of John the Baptizer, Luke chapter 1 verse 18 to 20, Luke 1, 18 to 20, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Gabriel is the angel who brings the word of God. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in that time." So unbelief asks this question. Unbelief asks the question, how can this be? How can this be? That's the question. How can this be? That question shows the attitude of unbelief. But faith asks the question, how will this be? How will this be? Luke chapter 1 verses 34 to 38. Look at Mary. Luke 1, 34 to 38. And Mary said to the angel, same angel Gabriel. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was not asking in unbelief. She believed what the angel told her. Because it says here, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary's question was not a question of unbelief. She was asking about the modality, the way in which this was going to happen. She was not like Zacharias, whose words were words of unbelief. Coming back to Abraham, Abraham believed and obeyed God when he did not know when God would fulfill his promise. Abraham believed and he obeyed God when he did not know when God would fulfill his promise. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 13 to 16. "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." None of the patriarchs saw the complete fulfillment of God's promises. But they saw from afar. They saw from afar what God was doing. You see, the important thing in life is not what we live in. We may live in tents, we may live in concrete houses. The important thing in life is not what we live in, but what we look for. What are we living for? These men and women of faith, they lived in tents, but they knew a heavenly city awaited them. In fact, later on in the same chapter of Hebrews, we find in Hebrews 11:35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You see, there is a glorious hope for all of us who walk by faith in Christ. And that's why walking by faith is so important. There are eternal rewards in heaven. Now, there are degrees of rewards for the faithful. For example, there is the crown of life for the martyrs. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 tells us. Revelation 2 verse 10, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's what Jesus is saying. There is the crown of life for martyrs. There is the crown of righteousness for all those who wait, who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, who await the coming of the Lord, and those who are living for him. There is the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now we need to make sure that we don't lose out on the rewards that God has in store for us. Walk by faith, in obedience, step by step. You don't know what lies ahead, but you know for sure who has called you and who has made you his. You are a partaker of the divine nature. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He'll come back to take us to be with him. That's his promise. Revelation chapter 3 verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. So that no one may seize your crown. So we must make sure that we don't lose out on the rewards that God has in store for us, and we must walk by faith. God always fulfills his promise to his believing people. God fulfills those promises either immediately or ultimately, finally. So number one, we see Abraham obeyed when he did not know where he was going. Number two, Abraham obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. Number three, Abraham also believed and obeyed God when he did not know when God would fulfill his promises. Finally, we see Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not know why God was working like this. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 17 to 19. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You see, Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not know why God was working like this. Like what? Why would God want Abraham to sacrifice his son when it was the Lord himself who gave Isaac to Abraham, and that too after 25 years of waiting? All of the promises to the nation of Israel was wrapped up in Isaac. You see, the tests of faith become more difficult as we walk with God. But at the same time, the rewards are more wonderful. I repeat, the tests of faith become more difficult as we walk with God, but at the same time, the rewards are more wonderful. And we need to recognize too the obedient faith of Isaac. You see that? He just submitted himself to what Abraham was doing to him. In Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we see four generations of faith. Yes, these men sometimes failed. All of us failed. Yes, they also failed. But basically, they were men of faith. They were not perfect, but they were devoted to God and trusted his word. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 20-22. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 20-22. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. You see, Isaac passed on the promises and the blessings of God to Jacob. We see that in Genesis chapter 27. Jacob shared those promises with his 12 sons. We see that happening in Genesis chapter 48 to 49. Jacob was a pilgrim. Even as he was dying, he leaned on his pilgrim staff. The faith of Joseph, remarkable. Certainly remarkable. After the way his family treated him, one might think he would have abandoned his faith. But no. Instead of abandoning his faith grew stronger. Even the pagan influence of Egypt did not weaken his trust in God. Joseph did not use his family, his job, or his circumstances as an excuse for unbelief. No. He didn't go into any pity party. He knew his God, and he knew his God is faithful. Joseph knew what he believed. that God would one day deliver his people from Egypt. He believed that. Genesis chapter 50 verses 24 to 26. He says, Genesis 50 verses 24 to 26. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die. But God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph also knew where he belonged. He belonged to Canaan, not to Egypt. So he made them promise to carry his remains out of Egypt at the Exodus, which he knew would happen. He knew that the Exodus would happen in the future. So he told them, you take my body out of here and take it to Canaan. And they did that. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. Look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 verse 32. As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob bought. In the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph. We must admire the faith of these patriarchs. Yes, you see, they did not have a complete Bible like you and I have today. And yet, their faith was so strong. They handed God's promises down from one generation to another. In spite of all their failures and their trials, these men and women believed God, and he bore witness to their faith. How much more faith you and I should have? We have the whole Bible. All the promises are there for us. So, in Abel, we saw faith worshipping. Then in Enoch, we saw faith walking. And in Noah, we saw faith working. And in the patriarchs, we see faith waiting. Then in Moses, we see faith fighting. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 23 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Now, Moses was fortunate to have believing parents. And for his parents to hide their baby son from the Egyptian authorities, that certainly was an act of faith. The account is given in Exodus chapter 2. If you read Exodus chapter 2 verses 1 to 10, you see that. Amram and Jochebed, they were the parents of Moses. Exodus chapter 6 verse 20. You see, godly parents cannot pass on their faith as they pass on family traits. So faith is not genetic. But godly atmosphere, godly parents can create a godly atmosphere, an atmosphere of faith at home, and be examples to their children. A home should be the first school of faith for a child, not Sunday school. The home should be the first school of faith for a child. 3 great themes you find relating to faith that we see in the life of Moses. 3 great themes relating to faith. First, we see the refusal of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 24 to 25. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, as the adopted son of the Egyptian princes, Moses could have led a very easy life in the palace, luxurious life. But his faith moved him to refuse that kind of life. He chose to identify with God's suffering people who were slaves in Egypt. True faith causes a believer to hold the right values and to make the right decisions in life. Now, this phrase, pleasures of sin, it does not refer only to lust and other gross sins. The phrase, pleasures of sin, the phrase describes a way of life that we today would call, you know, successful position, prestige, power, wealth and, no troubles. That's the kind of, that is actually what the meaning of pleasures of sin is. Then we see the writer telling us that Moses' refusal of faith led to the reproach of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses left the palace. He never went back to the old life. He identified with the Jewish slaves. Men and women of faith often have to bear reproach and suffering. The apostles suffered for their faith. Believers who lived behind the iron curtain, they knew what it is to bear reproach. Today, it happens to believers in Christ facing persecution. And if you face the reproach of Christ, then that is one of the evidences of true faith. We are now seeing that happening in our country with all the persecution that believers in Christ are facing now, which is escalating. Finally, there is the reward of faith. The reward of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 26 to 29. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. You see, God always rewards true faith. If not immediately, at least finally, definitely, there will be the reward. True faith will be rewarded. Over against the treasures in Egypt, Moses saw the recompense of the reward. Jesus said in Revelation 22 verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." It has been said, Moses chose the imperishable, he saw the invisible, and he did the impossible. He chose the imperishable, he saw the invisible, and he did the impossible. The faith of Moses enabled him to face Pharaoh unafraid, and Moses trusted God to deal with the enemy. And that's how we walk in faith. We trust God, we look to him, we are unafraid of the enemy because we know God will deal with the enemy. The endurance of Moses was not a natural gift. You see, by nature, Moses was a hesitant person. He did not want to take up any challenge. In fact, he telling God to send somebody else, that he's not fit for the job. You know, when that's the same when, you know, when the prophets, when Jeremiah also said the same thing. But those are the kind of people that God uses, who recognize their helplessness. I'm not fit for the job. I'm not qualified. Who is qualified? None of us are qualified. But God in his mercy has chosen us, made us his, and he has a purpose and plan for each one of us. And as we walk by faith and fulfill that perfect plan that God has for us,
That specific will that God has for our lives.
As we walk in faith and fulfill that purpose, looking to Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith, you can be sure of this. One day you will receive the reward. The faith of Moses was rewarded with deliverance for him and his people. We see this in Exodus chapter 11 to 13, where we read of the amazing Passover account. Faith brings us out. Hebrews 11 verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So faith brings us out. Faith takes us through. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 29. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. So when we trust God, we get what God can do through us. When we trust God, we get what God can do through us. There's only one person who can live the Christian life. His name is Jesus. The secret of the Christian life is letting Jesus live through you. When we trust ourselves, we get only what, you know, weak people can do. We get only what we can do with our own strength. It's of no use. But when we walk by faith, when we trust Him, we see what He can do. And the experience of Moses, is proof that true biblical faith means obeying God in spite of circumstances and in spite of consequences. That's true biblical faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer does not mention anything about faith wandering. If I was the writer, I would have written something about all their faith wandering away. No, he doesn't write anything like that. There is no mention of Israel's failure and for 40 years and, you know, all that wasted time. Nothing is mentioned. Why? Because that was an experience of unbelief. That was not an experience of faith. The writer did speak about all that wandering experience in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 as an illustration of doubting the word. But nowhere in Hebrews chapter 11 will you find a record of any failure because of unbelief. Because faith records only the victories. Once you've experienced forgiveness in Christ, God keeps no record of wrongs. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now this does not mean that God has a bad memory. No, no. God has the ability to forget, which means that He will not recall our sins because we have been forgiven by the blood shed for us on the cross. He's blotted out our transgressions. We have victory. We have victory in Christ by faith. You know what the resurrection should mean for us, you and me, when we walk by faith, the resurrection of Christ means to you and me a resurrected life for you and me. Because we are in Christ. We stand on victory ground. We fight from victory. We don't fight for victory. He has won the victory for us on the cross. When He cried out the victory cry on the cross, it is finished. John 19 verse 30, that is the victory cry. It is finished. That means all that needed to be done with regard to salvation has been done. The work is complete. John 19 verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Today, because God the Father has placed you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, we can fight the good fight of faith and we can experience this victory. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verses 35 to 37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Yes, indeed, Christ has risen. You know, we don't call it Easter. Easter is a pagan word. We call it Resurrection Day.
Resurrection Sunday. In fact, every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection, isn't it? Christ is risen. And God has raised us up with Him. In Him and through Him, we have victory. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Thanks be to God. Out of the domain of darkness into His marvelous light, He has delivered us, transferred us into the kingdom of His Son, including us in His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation, raising us up, seating us with Him. We died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Our names are written in the book of life. He has engraved us on the palms of His hands. He has promised us, no one can pluck you out of my hands. No one can pluck you out of my Father's hands. Our security is not in this world. This is such an insecure, wicked world, no? Our security is in the person of Jesus Christ, who gave His very life for us. He held back nothing from us. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the captain of the heavenly armies. He is the Lion of Judah. He fights our battles. He is ahead of us. He is behind us. He surrounds us with the joy of His presence. He pours out His Spirit into our lives. He anoints us for the work, for the task that He has for us. He fills us with His Spirit. He came to destroy those works of darkness. He put to public shame those principalities and powers in His death on the cross. By His wounds, you and I have been healed. We've been made whole. We've been made whole. In faith, in simple trust, will you offer your life to Him, your body to Him, as a living sacrifice? And will you say, yes, Lord, here I am. At your service, I am ready to do your will. Now get up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am. I am at your service, ready to do your will. My body is your temple, your treasure, your tool, weapon in your hand for the glory of your name. Let's bow our heads in prayer.